Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. This morning is Youth Sunday, so your youth will be doing the service. First, we'll start out with announcements. Are there any announcements this morning? Yes. Any other announcements? We pause for a silent prayer, preparing our hearts to worship. We have something that's not in the bulletin. I don't know. Are we still doing it, Susan? Okay.
So it can't. In the morning, we get up at, you know, the crack of dawn and do these energizers. So today we're gonna do one with y'all, and if y'all want to stand up and do it, you can too. The moves are easy. Just follow us, and it's called Revolution.
Of Revelation chapter 7 verses 16 and 17. Yes, sir. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore. Of Revelation chapter 7 verses 16 and 17. Yes, sir. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore. Preach up. For God shall wipe away, yes, sir, every tear from their eyes. Yes, sir. You ready for the revolution? What you say now?
Inside of us, inside that human being, we're a man, wanna live right there.
have a godly morning wake up.
Way to make a fool out of himself. Okay, now that everybody is energized. Okay, please follow me in the call to worship. Come, let us celebrate the forgiving, reconciling love of God. Lost and felt so far away. Now we have been found and welcomed home. Know that God's love is lavished upon you forever. Come, let us celebrate and praise the God of love. Amen. Please stand. Come, let us worship our Lord and Savior. Praise is not just another part of the worship service in which we go through the motions, but an opportunity to give thanks. Let us continue to praise the blessed name of God.
Thank you.
Thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you have given us this morning, Lord. Thank you for the rain. And thank you for everybody who is in the sanctuary this morning. Lord, please let this message that we give out touch each and every person in the sanctuary today. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our God is a God of wonders. He expands the universe. He deserves our praise. So lift up your voices with me. On earth, but this morning and every morning, all of heaven declares that the glory of our God, and may we declare that the glory of God here this morning. Please stand. Thank you. be seated.
Could I please have my ushers come forward?
Lesson comes from John 3, 1 through 21. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, but no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born again when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised by me saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. the word of God for the people of God.
Scripture, I would like to open with a prayer, so if you please bow your heads with me. Oh, hold on. Casey Stubblefield? Okay. Bow your heads with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful morning, Lord, and for allowing all of us to be here and worship you, Lord. We just want to thank you so much for all the wonderful many blessings that you've given to us, Lord. Please, Lord, be with Casey Stubblefield and anyone else who needs your guidance and help and strength, Lord. Please be with the ones who are sick and that need your comfort, Lord. Please just rest your hand on our shoulders the rest of this week and just guide us. Thank you so much for everything. We love you very much. Amen. For those of you who were here a month ago, you have heard the sermon on Wednesday night, but if you weren't, this is the new lesson for you. Recently, I attended a funeral on January 4th for an elderly lady, Sarah Bennett. She was 86 and full of life. To be honest, she was a mouthy woman with no filter. Also, she loved to travel. On the way home from a trip with a bunch of friends to Branson, Missouri, she stood up on the bus to go to the bathroom when suddenly another vehicle swerved in front of the bus, causing her to fall and injure herself seriously. She was rushed to St. Thomas, taken to NHC, Williamson Medical, St. Thomas again, and back to NHC. She died January 1st. I knew her from going to Senior Citizens with my grandmother and grew fond of Miss Bennett. When I learned she had died, I was speechless and had underestimated her condition. At the funeral, when I walked up to the casket and saw her for the last time, I just kept imagining her to sit up and say a snappy comment, but she didn't. She just laid there, quiet and peaceful. Just looking at her cold body, I stared at her hand, which obviously had a large amount of makeup on it, to make it look fleshy. That was it, and this was real. She was gone. She didn't have much family, but still the pews filled with church members. Not even 3 minutes into the service, I could hear sniffles and cries. Each one pierces you on the inside. I didn't think I would cry, but I started to tear up. I just wanted to turn back the clocks and spend 5 more minutes with her and listen to her till I was dying laughing. The preacher had said Miss Sarah Bennett had walked across each of our hearts and left her footprints, and he was right. The whole thing scared me. While hymns were being sung, I looked around and noticed. Of course, the congregation was filled mostly with elders, which made me think, and excuse me, this sounds awful, but it made me think, more funerals. Then I looked next to me, and I saw my grandmother, and it just killed me. I could barely hold the tears back. Just thinking about her dying scared me, and then my mind expanded, and I thought about my parents and friends. I started to think, what if one day I wake up and get a call saying a friend or family member was in a car wreck and I need to get to the hospital ASAP? But when I got there, it was too late. What would I have said to them if I had made it in time? Would I confess my lies to them and apologize for all the petty fights? Or just say I love you? Then think of what was the last thing I had said to them. Was it I love you, or were we bickering about something? Just look around you. What if those people weren't there one day? How would that affect you? All or most of us have attended a funeral and know the cold, chilling mood that comes over you. Now think, what if it was you in the casket? Would you die with regrets, unfulfilled promises? Have you lived life to the fullest? Have you said everything to everyone they needed to know? My biggest worry for myself is, did I serve God to the best of my abilities? But we all know the first question that comes up in any death situation is, were they saved? Did they have a ticket into heaven? Do you? Are you saved? Have you accepted Christ, and do you get to walk with Jesus in the kingdom of heaven and everlasting life? Before we go in and talk about the scripture, I want to talk about heaven. What do you see when you think of heaven? For me, every time I see a pretty sunset, I think, that's heaven. How beautiful. But what is beyond the pretty pink and purple clouds? When I was little, I didn't know much about the Lord, but I knew what I saw in heaven. Clouds made of marshmallows, and getting to hang out with friends and family, eating s'mores all day, and galloping on horses through the skies. This is my 7-year-old image of heaven. Now I see a paradise, with no drama, no lies, no stress or worries. I see white robes and eating big suppers with Jesus. I see myself with wings and flying around on heaven being someone's angel. But most of all, and I know we get emotional when we talk strongly about God, but actually getting to talk to Jesus, that will be overpowering. I will sit there speechless in awe and soak in everything he has to say. But as we all know, before we can get into the pearly gates of heaven, we must go through Judgment Day. Just thinking about standing with Jesus and my life flash before me makes me sick. My stomach churns and I am filled with regret, disappointment, shame, and embarrassment of all the awful things I have done. I know I will fall to my knees and cry, but I know Jesus will bend down beside me, put his hands on my shoulders, and wipe away the tears. I know he will tell me, I died on the cross for your sins, and you are forgiven. When we go into heaven, we are given a new clean slate, and God doesn't hold grudges. These are just some things to think about as we go through the rest of our sermon and talk about eternal life. Jacqueline read our first scripture, John 3, verses 1 through 21. John 3, verses 1 through 21 has the famous scripture, John 3, 16, which is going to be the base of this sermon. This one sentence sums up the whole scripture. It says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Just think about that for a minute, and what does it mean to you that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? That God gave up his one and only Son for all of your sins. So I'm going to break this down the best as I can from what I learned from Max Lucado's book, 3:16. For God so loved the world. God is the only person who can or does love everything and everyone in the world because he created it all. No matter how good or how bad, God's love is the most powerful thing and is never ending and everlasting. No matter how bad you mess up, God is there to swoop you up in his arms and drown you in his love. But to love the whole world and all of its mistakes, to an earthly person, this seems imaginable, unimaginable. But God loves us all, each and every one of us, every second of the day, like nobody else can. He loved us enough to give us life, hope, dreams, happiness, love, and trust. He loved us enough to give us blessings, a family that loves us, friends who care about us, a roof over our head, food to nourish our bodies, an education, and so much more. God loved us so much, he gave up his one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. And what have we given back? No matter what we do or what we give, it will never compare, even though it's nice to give back. So don't take anything for granted and cherish everything. Like I said, you never know from one day to the next if it will be gone. He gave his one and only Son. God gave up his one and only Son. Think about that. His one and only Son. He put his Son on this earth just to die. Die for our sins. No matter how many or how bad, he died for our sins. Think of all the bad things that you've done wrong in your life and the many more mistakes to come. Now think yours plus everyone else's. Jesus died for people who murdered, stole, lied, killed, poisoned, adultered, and so much more. If I was Jesus, I wouldn't die for my sins, and I certainly wouldn't die for yours. But he did, because he loved us. And the best part is, we are forgiven. We are forgiven for every lie we have told, every item we stole, every bad word we have ever thought or said, all the bad things we have done. All of them. And God not only forgives, but he forgets. He will never bring it up or make you feel guilty, even though we feel like that anyways. He will never hold it against you or think less of you, but honestly think, if you're an adult, could you put your child on that cross to die? God, if God asked you, anybody in the congregation, if he could ask you to put your son, your only son, or any of your children on this cross, would you be able to put them on there? Like Miss Duncan, could you put Casey on your... Okay. Mr. Baker, could you put your kids on the cross? Or children, would you put yourself on that cross to die for everyone else's sins? Whoever believes in him shall not perish. That's it? That's all you have to do? Is just believe? Yes, that's it. All you have to do is believe, and you will never die. I know that sounds crazy, and yes, we die on earth, but our souls and heart and faith will never die. All you have to do is confess and accept and believe. Not only do you get eternal life, but you get an experience that is indescribable. When you accept Christ, your world, eyes, and heart opens. You feel the love of God, and it is just overpowering. Your eyes open to all the works of God. When I accepted Christ, I saw God working in my life through my parents before I ever accepted Him. But God is no joke. He will know if you're saying if you believe in Him or if you're just faking it. He will know if you can feel Him pounding inside of your heart. By accepting Christ, you get back so much more than what you asked for. Even for some, though, they don't accept Christ until they're on their deathbed, and they don't get to experience all the beauties in life that Christ has given them. But accepting Him is what matters. Better late than never, right? So now's your chance to be reborn. Shall not perish, but have eternal life. Have eternal life. That's the big prize at the end of the race. Eternal life. Eternal life isn't something you can drive down to Walmart and pick up on the shelf half price. Or something that you can only pay $2 for, okay? Eternal life is the second greatest gift of all time. If you don't know the greatest gift list, it goes like this. Number one is Christ. Number two is eternal life. And number three is fried chicken. Okay, no, but seriously, life isn't something you buy. You earn it by believing. It's free except for you pay to God by faith. You can't buy eternal life at the Quickie Mart or put it on your Christmas list. It doesn't work like that. You receive eternal life when you accept Christ. And though we don't know what heaven is like, we know we get to go into a wonderful paradise. Whether it is clouds of marshmallows or big chicken dinners with Jesus, it's going to be great and better than anything we can imagine. Going to heaven comes with eternal life, and you don't have to worry about burning in hell or eating burnt chicken. In heaven, you will get to watch Jesus turn water into wine, see Him walk on water, and listen to His stories of healing lepers, and feeding 5,000 people. Though you can't take anything with you, you will have everything you will need. But think, what's the one thing we all look forward to in heaven? Seeing friends and family, right? Well, how can you do that if you or them aren't saved? Our second scripture comes from John 5, verses 24 through 30. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, He has also granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to judge, because He is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in the graves will rise, will hear this voice, and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself, I can do nothing. I can only judge as I hear. And judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me. Well, you just heard the word, so do you believe it yet? Do you have a ticket into heaven? The conclusion of the sermon is about life and death. Death. And the life after. Are you living good, or are you living for God? I know this sounds silly, so let me explain. Are you living to have fun and doing what feels good, or are you living for God and what's right? If your friend was to die, would they know that you love them? Do you have any fights that you need to settle this morning, just in case God decides to take them? Have you lived life to the fullest? Have you accepted Christ, and do you get to have eternal life? Have you asked for forgiveness for your sins?
stand. As we sing this song, just think about all the wonderful things that God has given you and everything that is still to come.
I can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine.
From Ezra 10:11. Now make confession to the Lord, the God of your fathers, and do His will. Dear Heavenly Father, we lower our heads before you, and we confess that we have too often forgotten that we are yours. Sometimes we carry on our lives as if there was no God, and we fall short of being a credible witness to you. For these things we ask your forgiveness, and we also ask for your strength. Give us clear minds and open hearts, so we may witness to you in our world. Remind us to be who you would have us to be, regardless of what we are doing or who we are with. Hold us to you and build our relationship with you and with those you have given us on earth. Blessed assurance. Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Are there any prayer requests? Anybody else?
Like offer up praise to God. every time, and I do mean every time I hear you folks bring the message, it fills my heart so much to know you. I don't know all of you very well. I know you love God.
Thank you. Anybody else have a prayer request? Okay. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Please bow your heads with me as we do closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this wonderful morning. Please, Lord, just let my message bless everyone and just let them know how important it is just to let people know that you love them, Lord, and how much that they need to tell people that they love the other person. Lord, thank you so much for our freedom and for us being able to worship you in freedom, Lord. You don't know how much that means to me. Lord, thank you so much for all the youth and for all of us being able to put this together. And thank you for Susan and for us helping us. Lord, please be with all the prayer requests, the ones that were mentioned, Casey and Marcus, Mr. Donatelli, and all the other ones, and the ones that were unspoken, Lord. Lord, thank you so much for all of your blessings, just everything that you've given to us, Lord. So let us have a great week and safe travels. In your name we pray. Amen.
Before anyone leaves, can you please stand with us? The youth have decided to
do a last minute song.
Just happy when you're
If you know the song, you're welcome to sing along. It's a collab song.
Front, please. Can all the youth come to the front?